You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, brought to you by Ministry Grid. Ministry Grid is an online church leadership and volunteer training platform offering a library of thousands of videos and a suite of powerful admin tools to provide practical training for every area of ministry in your church. Find out more and get a free 30-day trial at ministrygrid.com/howitworks.
Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins, my co-host. Yes. And we also have Eric Geiger on, who's giving Todd strange looks.
That was so random of an introduction.
Todd's a little slap happy. This is the third or fourth podcast we've recorded today.
That's why it's number four.
And I have a...
He's caffeinated.
At this point, you need to limit Barnabas the amount of time that he talks.
Well, it's, you know, this well,
you're
is actually
here with notes. So that's going
to
be
right. You can carry us on this one. I'll try to fill in some gaps.
We'll set you up, man.
I think the term for what Todd is burned out, which is a fitting segue.
I see what you did there.
Yes, that's a professional segue right there, folks.
There you go.
It's good.
Because the topic we're talking about today is avoiding burnout as a leader. So Todd, you have not avoided burnout today.
I've not.
The one way to avoid it is not to record podcasts all day long. But avoiding burnout. So we're just going to jump into our 5 questions and go right through this. So the first one, and I'm just going to throw this out there to set context, is how prevalent is burnout among those in leadership?
I don't have any quantitative data with me on the question.
Nothing that Lifeway Research could validate.
Right. And I know that there's been... You know, there's studies done on how many people drop out of the ministry, mm-hmm. and then you have to wonder how many of that is because of burnout, how many of that's because of other issues. But what I can speak to is qualitatively, meaning the conversations that I've had with pastors and ministry leaders and just leaders over the last several years and actually probably over the last 2 decades of me personally leading, I would say it's very, very prevalent among leaders.
Yeah.
That... Most leaders have gone through a season of feeling burned out, and wise leaders just don't want to go through that season again.
No,
right.
Ever.
And so I'd say most leaders have pushed too hard for too long and had either a burnout or an approaching burnout, and by God's grace, somebody pulled them aside or they caught it in themselves, but they have have gotten to the edge. I'd say that's super, super prevalent in leadership.
I think, typically when I think back and on my personal life, as well as, you know, those that I have led and watched them burn down, I think in most cases it's either A, they weren't in the right spot and they just, they were asked to do something that they put their all into. But either they weren't a good fit for it or they weren't passionate about it. And they just, you know, they were pressed and pressed and pressed, or they pressed themselves and pressed themselves and pressed themselves without enough break and they burned out. Or what I've seen even more prevalent than that is I'm passionate about this.
Yeah.
I'm driven toward this. I have this vision that I want to happen. And you keep going and going and going. And it doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen the way you think, and that's when you're really susceptible.
Yeah, because you don't have the fruit of your labor that energizes you because you've gone through a difficult season. So I would say the scary thing to my answer is I don't want people to think that I'm saying, hey, all leaders have experienced burnout, or most leaders have wrestled with this, and therefore, if you're really a leader, you're going to push yourself until you get to this point, because that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
Because it is an unwise place to be. Getting to burnout isn't great leadership. It's actually poor self leadership when you get to that place.
And it harms the organization around you, because if you get to the place where you're burned out and have to sort of involuntarily step back,
right.
you've strained everybody else around you,
right.
And you haven't really set them up for doing it themselves. I think it's important to define burnout a little bit, that it's, at least when I view it, I see it as sort of a scale, because there's burnout like crash and burn,
right?
Like nervous breakdown or something like that. Like you've pushed yourself
massive
to the point.
Moral failure that you never thought in a million years would ever happen.
Health problems due to
exhaustion.
Heard of
folks, getting so exhausted that their doctors then say, it's going to take you five right. years for your body to replace these things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that now I know of less who have gone to that extreme.
Right. That's and, pretty rare.
Yeah. And, more prevalent would be leaders who just aren't able to function at the level they were functioning
yeah.
because they pushed too hard for too long.
Or they end up sacracrificing other areas of life. And so they burn out their family. Yeah. They burn out their marriage. They burn out their bodies. They burn out their marriage. Yep. They burn out their investment in church or community or hobbies or anything because they've only invested in work. And so they put all their eggs in one basket yep. to make it go. And they end up burning those other things down. So, I mean, burnout can mean a lot of different things, but I think usually it's a slow burn. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like running your car running too hot for too long until the radiator gives out kind of thing. I mean, it's not a big explosion. Usually it's just sort of all of a sudden it's just like, and no, I quit.
I think it has to be that because it's the compound effect right. of neglecting your soul, neglecting your body, neglecting your health over a sustained yeah. period of time. So it's not like I'm healthy today and I'm going to be burned out by this weekend.
Right.
No, it's I neglect my soul and I neglect caring for myself well yeah. over a period of time. And that compounds mm-hmm. and then has very detrimental results.
And I feel like it's scary because, I mean, you've probably heard the experiment of, you know, you put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it's yeah. going to jump out. You put a frog in a pot of water and turn the heat up underneath and it'll boil to death. That's burnout for most leaders.
You're a preacher's kid, aren't you?
Yeah.
You grew up in the church.
Yep. I've heard that one a few times. You've used it. I guarantee it. I don't know about Eric. Both of us probably have. But I mean, I've never actually tried that. I'm going to assume that that's a true experiment.
I don't know that that's
allowed. You've never boiled frogs, but
I have, but they were already dead.
Okay.
And I fried their legs.
The point being, I feel like that's burnout. That's burnout for leaders is the slow thing that you don't realize is happening. Thank you, Todd.
Well, it's the same thing with, if you are quitting, not taking care of your health mm-hmm. well. And I'm not referring to physical health here, but your total who you are. If you view that as sin, and it is, right?
Right?
Anything that's not of faith is sin. So I'm not trusting God for the total whole of my life. And so I'm taking things in my own hands. I'm not mm-hmm. stewarding my health well. I'm not trusting Him with results. I'm just burning, going, right. going. Sin does the same thing. We become hardened to it in our
yeah.
in our own lives. And we end up doing things that we never thought we would do if we don't repent.
Yeah, and let's transition to question two. You mentioned earlier, Eric, some of the statistics that people might have seen about pastors
right.
burning out or quitting or leaving the ministry. I think if you asked Ed Stetzer and some of our research team, they would say a lot of that's overblown. You know, the stats of hundreds and hundreds right. of pastors yeah. leaving every month. And they would say, no, it's less than 5%. That's the most recent article I saw from Lifeway yeah. was less than 5% of pastors leave the ministry every month. So it's not as dire as it looks.
It's not a mass exodus.
Right. And so. Just to give context, but is burnout more prevalent in church leadership than in other positions of leadership?
I would say yes.
I'm there. I'm yes as well. And I jotted down three reasons.
Just thinking, can I go first before you give your three reasons? I haven't read your three reasons.
But no, because
you are the guest.
I'm the guest. You're supposed to let me. It's
and
not,
you're my boss.
But you're not practicing biblical hospitality.
Okay, boss daddy, go.
Okay, thank you. So the three reasons, and then you can like pick up the pieces, like all the things that I don't say. The burden of shepherding a group of people mm-hmm. is... okay, so I mean, I lead a large team here at Lifeway, and many times people will say, "Man, I bet that's such a big burden." It is. It is. And that's the blessing and the burden of being a leader.
Right.
However, guys, it honestly comparatively to what it was when I was full time pastoring a church, there's all these extra dynamics of feeling the weight of responsibility for the souls of people.
Yes. Yep.
So Martin Lloyd-Jones said that a pastor is one who's in charge of souls. And so that, when you understand the weight of what it means to be a church leader, the weight of what it means to be a pastor, it the burden is just enormous. Now, there are people who don't embrace the blessed burden, who just kind of view it as a job, and so maybe they don't live with that burden. But if you live with the burden of what it really means to be a church leader, it would tend to be the kind of thing that could cause you, if you don't trust the Lord in it, to really experience burnout. So 2 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul, he lists all of his persecutions.
Right. I
mean, horrific list, right? I've been
shipwrecked and beaten and robbed and
all these horrible things. And then in verse 28, he says, on top of all of that, or beside all of that, I face daily my burden for all of the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is mourning and I am not? I'm not sure. We don't remember his exact language, but essentially all of these persecutions he endured, and the most pressure he felt was actually his burden for the churches.
Right.
That is intense.
Yeah.
So one would be the burden. Number two, if you're a pastor or church leader who really engages in shepherds people, especially if you're developing and discipling people, here's just a practical challenge that church leaders face. Their schedule is different than their schedule. They're free at nighttime.
Yeah.
They're free on the weekends because they have 9-to-5 jobs, which means sometimes when they are free or when they're texting you or when you're having a phone call is after quote-unquote hours, right? Yeah. So the clock never really can shut off sometimes for a church leader. The schedule, when does it ever shut off? So that's hard. And
I would say that's, as just a quick parenthesis, that's why I'm always glad when I see pastors, whether I see them posted on Instagram or I just see them out and about, and they are out, like they're taking their kids to school, they're going to lunch with their wife, they're doing whatever during other people's work hours.
Yes.
Because they're taking advantage of times when things actually a little bit slower for them. Yep. from a shepherding perspective.
Yeah, and shame on the church that says that's lazy.
You're right.
Yes.
Because that's not, because that pastor has a completely different schedule, and that pastor's clock never goes off.
Right, then, starting at about dinner time, he's dealing with the church's yep. business and their needs,
and so then also goes to sleep. Todd, let me finish. also goes to sleep at night every night with the burden of what it means to shepherd these people,
right,
to be responsible for these people. And Todd, number three, and then you can say all the things. So number one, the burden. Number two, the clock.
Man.
And number three, here's the, and this is sinful, but a driven church leader can deceive himself or herself into thinking this ambition is all holy, that this drive, this push that I'm bringing myself to, this intense pace that I'm running, it is all holy. And so is it ever sinful, right? Is there anything I'm doing that's sinful? And so because the church leader thinks, well, nothing I'm doing is sinful, then that, you know, if you're a business leader, then someone might call you out for, man, you're a workaholic. Yep. You're never at home. You're a
Nobody
workaholic.
Calls pastors workaholics.
Yeah.
Unless, even if they're working 80 hours a week.
Right. Who's going to say to the pastor, man, what are you doing telling more people about Jesus?
Right.
What are you doing discipling more people? What are you doing visiting somebody else who's sick? You know, and so because it's all holy work, it can, a leader can deceive himself or herself into thinking that burnout is holy.
Right.
And burnout's not holy.
Todd,
I have nothing to say.
No, Todd, you were trying to interrupt me three times. So evidently, there's
the reason why I wanted
else.
To go before you is because basically it's a combination of two and three. It is when life is ministry, and life should be ministry for every Christian, by the way. It should be, but when your job is ministry and life is ministry, it never stops. It never turns off, and you do have every excuse in the world. Yeah. To go all in and to sacrifice your family, to sacrifice your marriage, to put things on the altar that God has not called you to put on the altar. And And actually in the end is really poor leadership.
Amen. And you're right that even a healthy leader, church leader, it's sometimes hard to distinguish between, because like you said, ministry is life. So I'm having dinner with this couple, or I'm playing ball with some people from church. Is this like my personal time, or is this?
It's all mixed together. If you're doing it right, it's all mixed together.
And as a lay person, so I'm not being a pastor, I can tell when a pastor is in pastor mode. So I go to lunch with them and I'm having lunch with my pastor instead of a friend.
Yeah.
Like, no, turn off the pastor mode and let's just have a conversation.
Yeah.
I don't need you to pastor me right now. You can have an off switch. And so there is, but for somebody in ministry,
yeah,
they're on all the time. And so, yeah, dinner yeah, with friends becomes a counseling session or something like that. Or, you know, dinner with a friend is, yep, is discipling or mentoring or something. And you're like, no, let's just, can we talk football or something?
I remember I met with a group of leaders at a church, and the church was installing a sabbatical policy for pastors.
Yeah.
And some of the leaders were wrestling. Hey, I've been running my business for 20 years and I've never had a sabbatical, or I've been a teacher for these years and never had a, or all of these different disciplines and different industries and never had a sabbatical. And so I read this passage in 2 Corinthians 11 and said, it is different. The responsibility, mm-hmm, that your pastors have. I'm not saying that what you have is, what you're not hearing me say is what you do is unspiritual and what your pastors do is spiritual. No, not right, true. Yep. All work is spiritual when offered as an offering to the Lord. But the role of a pastor, the role of a church leader, to be consumed with what it means to care for and be in charge of the souls of men is more prone to burnout, yeah, I think, than any other role.
I think, yes, I agree. I think it is a distinctly different kind of leadership. So the answer to question number two, is it more prevalent in church leadership? I think we all agree is yes, for all the reasons we just talked about. Number three question, this is, I guess, just more bullet points and practical. What are some signs of burnout? We mentioned earlier that it's often, probably most often, a gradual thing. It's not, yeah, something where you just arrive at the place where your body falls apart. There's a gradual move towards it. So what are some signs of burnout?
I think, you know, one of the first things is you see somebody start to go negative. They go negative all the time.
Their attitude. Cynical all the time.
Yes. It just becomes more and more a part of how they view things. So, mm-hmm, it's going to be difficult to get them on board with, you know, any new vision or any new strategy or any new anything if they don't have the energy for it. They dread, you know, going to work. If you're dreading going to work, or you're living for the weekend, I don't understand those people. I never have understood those people. I mean, I'm probably borderline unhealthy.
That's great, Tom. Thanks for now shepherding us.
What do you mean?
You're unhealthy. You're saying I'm almost burned out, but I'm going to,
I'm not sure saying I'm almost burned out, but what I'm saying is my perspective when I'm around someone who talks about it's Wednesday and they talk about can't wait for the weekend, as if it's almost like, you know, I've talked to you about the weather, so
right,
let's talk about the weekend. And I'm like, I don't.
Yeah. I feel sorry for those people, to be honest with you.
I do,
yeah,
too. What are they doing? Because what are you doing?
Because I feel like, man, you really are wishing away a huge chunk of your life.
Yeah.
That you're not enjoying and thriving in the opportunity you have every single day to serve the Lord and to be passionate about what you do and to be enthusiastic about what you do, that you literally live from weekend to weekend. What a miserable way to live.
Whatever it is you're doing, if you don't own it, find somebody else. Yeah. I mean, find something else.
Yep.
Find something else to do. The other thing I would say, if you get to the point where you have no energy and no sleep, which is only going to be a cycle that just takes you down even further, you're already getting burned out. If you're having trouble sleeping, and yeah, then that causes, it's just,
you're so tired you can't sleep almost.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think another sign is isolation. I think the more burned out you are, the less margin you have for friendships,
yep,
the less margin you have for family, and the less margin you have for in your work collaboration.
Yep.
So I'm just going to do my work. I'm just going to knock, yeah, this stuff out. And that's a sign that you, you're running on empty. You don't have what it takes to engage other people, because that does take energy, especially if you lean introverted. But for anybody, it takes energy to deal with other people's perspectives, mm-hmm. to be social, to build relationships, yep. both in and out of work. So I think isolation is a real big sign. And if you see somebody go into their office, close the door perpetually, they are, as a leader specifically, that just doesn't strike me as a good thing.
I went through a period of almost burned out. And I think I've had several of these in 20 years of leading. Thankfully, it's only been... I can think of two. I can think of one time when I lived in Cincinnati, and I can think of one time when I lived in Miami. And so I wrote down a couple of things that now I look for in my own life. So here's we had gone through a really, really intense season of growth at the church where I was serving as executive pastor and teaching pastor. We went from like two campuses to five campuses in 18 months. I don't recommend ever doing that. And we were in the church. God was blessing. We were seeing a lot of great things happen. I remember being, and I had been sharing with Kay that, baby, I can't wait to our sabbatical. I had an upcoming sabbatical. And if I had not had that sabbatical, man, the church was super kind, super gracious to the pastors to give us a sabbatical. I don't know where I'd be if that sabbatical hadn't come. I started that sabbatical in May of 2010, May of 2010. So in April of 2010, I remember telling Kay a couple of days, baby, I don't know if I'm going to make it to the sabbatical. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember being in a meeting with the business manager at the church and just kind of going over a basic report, and I couldn't even focus at all. I'm talking like not a complicated at all. I think it was like a financial view. And I could not focus. I called Kay and said, baby, I'm toast. I'm done. She called a couple in the church, and an hour later I was driving down to the Florida Keys and spent 3 days in the Keys in bed, sleeping. And that gave me enough to get to the sabbatical a month later. But here were the signs for me. Frustration with people. And you kind of mentioned, mm-hmm. Barnabas, the isolation. So I start noticing now, if I'm getting a little edgy,
yeah.
with people, I want to catch it. I want to catch it early and be sure that I am taking care of myself. Trouble focusing. So if all of a sudden I can't read a chapter as quickly as I used to, then my mind might be a little shot, right?
Right.
If I'm having a hard time focusing on a text that I'm preparing or preparing for a leadership meeting, then my mind is falling. Several leaders have told me this too, and so if you're listening, listen to your body. There's physical signs. When I even had a doctor tell me this, because one time I had my eyes were twitching really badly, yeah. and he said, "Man, you know what it's going to be? We can run some tests, but I think for you, it's stress. Stress is going to find a way to leave your body."
Mm-hmm.
It's going to impact you physically. And so if your body's going to start giving you warning signs, and Todd, you mentioned this, the just feeling exhausted. And so I've had pastors, back to the pastors, tell me this, that, okay, if I preach on Sunday, usually I'm really tired till 3 o'clock on Monday. Well, then all of a sudden, if it's like, man, I'm tired till noon on Tuesday. And then like 6 months later, I don't feel rested till noon on Wednesday. I've had pastors tell me it kept getting pushed further and further back, and then I crashed.
Yeah.
And so if whatever time you rest is causing you to feel less and less actually rested, mm-hmm. you are quickly approaching. I think you're approaching burnout. So I try to watch for those signs in yes. my own life.
So that moves us directly into question four, which is, what are practical things leaders can do, really anybody, but what are things leaders can do to avoid burnout? So we see some of these signs: the irritability, the critical attitude, the isolation, physical signs, et cetera. What are things leaders can do to avoid it? Really practical things. And this can be mental, spiritual, or physical things.
I would say you've got to schedule margin and stick to it. I'm horrible about sticking to vacations or mm-hmm. like we had sabbaticals.
I just fulfilled a vacation request form for you yesterday, Todd.
I know, but
I bet he didn't put it through.
I didn't.
I bet his assistant did at the request of his wife.
And I took out 2 days actually next week.
Which leads me to my suggestion, which is that 2 days doesn't count as a vacation. You need to take you need to take extended time
That's
off.
Good. This was That's to, good.
This was to hunt, which would have meant I would have been in Kentucky on the farm I grew up on, and which would that's one of the biggest ways for me personally to just revitalize. Like to
kill things.
Kill things or, you know, deforest a large area. It's like manual labor.
Yeah.
Which we both know I need. But you know, I would say the practical thing you do is schedule that time and actually keep it. Don't be me. And then also we've talked about multiple times inviting people into your life. Mm. Invite some people into your life that are going to speak truth into your life, and they're going to be able to see when these things are happening, because they're going to be able to speak truth to you. Sometimes, you know, God, you know, has given me a spouse that speaks into my life, certainly. But sometimes I need additional people to make sure I'm.
It's real easy to fall into a marriage rhythm that seems normal. Like if your spouse is a very understanding spouse, like my wife is not the type to complain and whine if I am over invested in something. She just won't do it because she grew up in a family where her dad was a police officer and her mom was a paramedic, which means crazy work stuff is just a part of life. But that doesn't mean that it's healthy for us. And so I have to conscientiously build in margin elsewhere to say my weekends are going to be free. So for me, that's it. I will go all out Monday through Friday and not take much time off, maybe not sleep as much as I should. But Saturday, Sunday, I don't do anything productive. I don't do anything work related productive, writing Rest. Stuff. Yeah. That kind of thing. And so, but I think extended time off is really, really important. Yeah.
For me, practical things. I mentioned your body earlier, so listen to your body.
Yeah.
You know, when you start feeling lethargic or there's stress manifesting itself some way, learn the rhythms of your work. And so every job I've had, there's seasons that are less intense than others. I think embrace those seasons. So I want to run full on in the seasons that need full on. And then when there's seasons that are a bit slower, that's when vacation. And so I'm sure July was probably the slower season at the church.
In the church world, the summer is really, really slow, relatively speaking.
So learn the rhythm of your work and apply it there. And then I really think this is big. I really think leaders need to take care of themselves physically.
Yep, I was going to say exercise as a suggestion.
Exercise. For me, I played basketball this morning, 5 a.m. with eight of us total. I feel stress leaving my body.
Especially when you hit J.R. Lovins with an elbow, right?
That is actually, it's very therapeutic to do that, you know, hit him in the face.
Yeah. Combat sports are also very therapeutic. I hate exercising. I love sports, but I hate exercising. Yes. I've always hated working out. I am a dramatically different person when I do it consistently. I sleep better, which means I work better, which means all of these things lead to a better attitude.
It's so true, man.
And it took me until I was 30 to realize this. Yep. So that was frustrating. But at 22, I didn't have to exercise because I could eat 9 dozen donuts and lose weight.
Man, that metabolism, man. Yeah. I would, if I had the metabolism I had when I was 24.
I miss you.
Come back, old friend.
You come back
Where
again.
Where have you been? But I think a couple other just little things. I think I saw an article recently, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but making time to read makes you feel less busy. So if you carve out 30, 40, 50 minutes to read something for enjoyment, not work reports and like, it actually does something to the pace and the action of your brain. I often feel like my brain is when I'm starting to get burned out, it's like tires spinning in mud. So it's working like crazy and going absolutely nowhere. But if I sit down and read, it's engaged, it's focused, and something else is leading my train of thought. And it does a lot to relax me, especially if I need to fall asleep. So I think that's a really helpful, practical thing. And it can be novels and stuff. Just something, it's not something that's going to wear you out, but something that's just going to engage your mind a little bit.
How many hours of sleep do you get a night?
6 maybe.
Yeah. Todd, what about you?
6.
Yeah, I'm there.
And that's less than optimal. So I probably do 6 a night and then 1 or 2 nights a week I get, you know, 9 or 10.
I'm a 6 a night guy and then one time on the weekend I'll get one night.
Yeah.
You know, one night in the week. the sad thing is with little kids, I mean, it's not like sleeping until 10. No. It's like you fall asleep at 9.
Exactly. Yeah. And for me, that's almost always Friday. It's like
same.
Put the kids to bed and start watching Netflix at 8:30. And by 9:30, I'm out.
Same. Yeah. So when like people are like, hey, let's go out. Like, let's go. I have not watched the fireworks on July 4th or New Year's Eve. I mean, I'm like, what? I haven't been sleeping for 3 hours. You guys are crazy.
I'm old. All right, let's jump to our fifth question. And so this is to, you know, we just talk practical things for individuals. What are ways, though, that organizations can create a culture that helps leaders prevent burnout? So organizational systems and culture to support their leaders to not burn out.
That's good. Well, I think the leaders of the organization need to be pace setters in this. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's more of a cultural thing than a systems thing. There are some system things, of course, that help influence the culture and set the culture, but the leaders caring for their own selves well and avoiding burnout, it's big. I also think leaders realizing that there's rhythms in their organization. You know, hey, here's the intense season. And it might be different for different teams in that organization, but here's the intense season, and then here's going to be a slower rhythm season. Obviously, there's things that an organization can do, such as health club membership.
Yeah.
You know,
so like Lifeway hooks us up with a discount at the YMCA, for example, if you want.
For a church, that plus we had that in Miami where we gave the staff amount to go towards health club, you know, so you take care of yourself physically. Sabbatical policy for a local church. If you are listening and you are the chairman of your personnel team at your church and your church doesn't give your pastor or pastors a sabbatical, you need to go beat your hand on the table with your personnel team and say, the one thing this team's going to accomplish this year, more than evaluating, you know, the percentage of raise or the health percent that we pay for employees, is we're giving our pastors a sabbatical.
Right.
You got to get that. You have to give that to your pastors.
Well, and two, I mean, you know, it's not only modeling it from the top down, but it's also making sure people understand there's permission from the top down.
Yes. Yep.
And almost celebrating that, simply because some people would have a tendency to say, oh, well, that's great for the boss can go off, but I feel like I need to, you know, carry over my vacation. Yeah,
nobody should feel guilty for putting in a vacation request. Or for going on vacation. I mean, it's whether it's one day or 2 weeks.
Just right. I agree.
If you're given the vacation time, it should be celebrated that you use it.
To me, the preference would be, let's hire really aggressive, intense people and just shepherd them well to find rhythm and balance and avoid burnout in their life. As opposed to
make it a policy.
Hire people who actually lean the opposite and are just... If they default to one, they default to lazy, and then you constantly have to motivate. Both are idolatry, right?
Yeah.
Laziness is idolatry, and so is workaholic. And so I'm not advocating either one of them, but I would rather help a driven person shepherd her heart, his heart, and say, listen, you realize you left a bunch of vacay days on the table. What's going on? What's going on? And also, that's even a leadership conversation. Are you not developing others that can lead while you're gone?
If you can't leave, that puts a big black eye on that in that area specifically.
It's about your personal health, but you really aren't building a healthy area if everything must go through you.
A leader should feel really free to just disappear for 2 weeks and know that while they're gone, all business will be handled.
Yeah, and some people think, no, that means I'm not needed. Here's the reality. If you can build teams, develop people, develop systems where you aren't necessary, you'll always be necessary.
Exactly. Right.
Yep.
Because we need those people.
Yeah. Nobody gets fired for developing a bunch of rock stars around them.
That's right.
All right.
Unless there's like moral failure and other things, but
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we encourage all listeners to take this podcast and listen to it while they are on the airplane to vacation to go rest up from it's to avoid burnout, or on their drive. It doesn't have to be an airplane, but, so we hope this has been helpful, and offer something practical to you. We really appreciate you listening. You can find show notes for this at lifeway.com/churchleaders. That's also where we maintain a leadership blog. If you haven't checked it out, there's a lot of great content there for church leaders, business leaders, leadership principles in general, where the podcast is housed. So that's lifeway.com/churchleaders. You can find quotes, any resources we've referenced, things like that. So thanks so much for listening, and tune in next time. Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. To learn more about how you can train leaders in your church, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks and watch a short demo video. For participating, you will get a free 30-day trial for your entire church. Again, that's ministrygrid.com/howitworks.